Let's open our Bibles tonight once again to the book of Leviticus, chapter 16. Leviticus, chapter 16. Now, you will remember last week we looked at verse 1, and verse 1 said that the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And then the story continues of what happened after Nadab and Abihu were killed in the holy place, when they offered the strange fire, and the fire of God came out and consumed them, devoured them, as it says in chapter 10. So in order to get that story, we went back to the 10th chapter, and we saw that in verse 1, that Nadab and Abihu took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. All right, now, we'll flip back and forth here, but go ahead for now and just leave your Bible open to chapter 16. Now, let's pray, and then we'll start. Our Father, now as we open the Word of God, I pray you will bless us richly and give us understanding of what we're about to hear. And Lord, help us to see Jesus, help us to have understanding and to glean from the Word of God that which will encourage us and strengthen us in our faith. And Lord, we know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So Lord, bless us tonight, and intervene in our study and meet with us and bless us richly. Lord, we love you and we love your word. We thank you for the word of God. Now bless it, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, last week we started looking at the Day of Atonement. And I guess it's my fault. I should have clarified this to you a little bit better. And I don't think I did, and I evidently created a little confusion. So some of you several of you had the same question. So let me take just a minute and clarify what this Day of Atonement is all about. All right, now if you'll remember, a couple of weeks ago, we took two Wednesday nights and we looked at the five different offerings that were commanded of the Lord, that were instituted by the Lord. We looked at the first one was the burnt offering, and then that was where the animal was completely burned, everything completely burned up. Then there was the meal offering, the meat offering, which was just fine flour and frankincense and a little salt on it. And then we had the peace offering, and then the sin offering, and then the trespass offering. All right, so five different offerings. And these were voluntary offerings. It was up to the individual to bring that offering. Now, that offering was made out in the courtyard at the brazen altar. That brazen altar, the fire was always burning in it. The fire was lit by God, and it was ever burning. They never let the fire go out. So that every time they stopped, they carried it on the poles, you remember. They carried it on the staves, and the fire burned in it while they carried it. And then when they stopped and they set up the tabernacle, then the people would come and they would bring their offerings to the Lord. And there were five different kinds: the burnt offering, the meat offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. All right, now, those were the offerings. Now, the Day of Atonement is something completely different from that. And the Day of Atonement is one of nine feast days that the Jews, that God instituted for the Jews. The feast days, and we will get to these in a few weeks. Maybe a few months from now, we will get to the feast days. I can't say it's going to be a few weeks. But there are nine feasts that were celebrated, that were instituted and observed by God's people. Some of them are simple. You are fully aware of them. Let me give them to you in the order in which they were given. And if you want to write these down, you can. We're eventually going to get to them, but I need to give them to you in order to make a point. All right, nine special feasts. The first one was the weekly Sabbath. The weekly Sabbath. You go, oh, yeah, it was a feast day. It was a holy day. Saturday was the Sabbath day. You remember that Sunday is the first day of the week. All right, so the God rested on the seventh, and Sabbath day was Saturday for the Jews. Still is today, and so the weekly Sabbath was the first holy time, holy day that was set apart. All right, the next one is the seventh year. Right, remember that they would get to that seventh year every 7 years, and that seventh year was called a holy year. It was a time where property went back. It was a time where slaves were set free. It was a time where everything was just put back to where the way it was supposed to be. The 7 year Sabbath. And then they had a Sabbath that was the 50th year, the 50-year Sabbath. They called it the year of Jubilee, and so the 50th year. Now, these first three Sabbaths, these first three holy times, speak of God's first great work. Three, remember, being the number of completion. Very good. All right, very good. And so three being the number of completion, and the first three speak of God's first great work, and his first great work was creation. And then you have six is the number of what? Man. All right, so now you have six other feasts, and the next six holy days or feast days, or sometimes a day was a week long, the second set of holy days or feast days speak of God's second work, great work, and that is the work of redemption. All right, so the first three speak of God's first great work, creation. And then the next six, the number of man. And, of course, that's why God gave us redemption. It was for man. It was for us. He sent his son to die for the world. All right, so number four is the Passover. And, of course, the Passover is a picture of Calvary. They've already celebrated the Passover by the time we are in Leviticus 16. You remember they celebrated a Passover in Egypt. And that was the celebration that God established when you were to put the blood on the doorpost and you were to offer the lamb as a sacrifice. And God said, when the angel of the Lord comes over, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And so the Passover is the fourth holy day. And, of course, that's a picture of Calvary. Then, following Passover, was the Feast of First Fruits, and that's a picture, of course, of the resurrection of Christ. And then you have number six, Pentecost, And Pentecost was celebrated 40 days after Passover. And it was a picture of the, or 50 days after Passover, 40 days, 50 days after Passover. And it was Jesus ascended 10 days later, and then 40 days later, and I'm tired. And then 10 days later, after they were in the upper room, Pentecost came, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. So the feast of Pentecost is a celebration or looking forward to the Holy Spirit coming upon the believer. And then number 7 is the trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets. Now, we'll get to all these, and I'll explain them all to you when we get there. But the Feast of Trumpets was an Old Testament picture of the return of Christ. And you had the trumpet, they blew the trumpets, and they celebrated, and so on and so forth. And, of course, we know that connected to the return of our Lord, the return of our Lord's in two phases or two stages. First is the rapture. And that's when the trumpet of God will sound, the dead in Christ will be raised, and then 7 years later, the return of Christ. So number 7 is the Feast of Trumpets. And then you have number 8, the Day of Atonement, the Day of Atonement. And I'll show you how this ties in with God bringing his people back into his own, bringing the lost sheep of Israel back into his own during the tribulation period. And then the last one is the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. And this one is looking forward to the millennium. So there's a lot of beautiful pictures that we're going to see in the months to come as we look at this law that was given. But please do not confuse the Day of Atonement that we are looking at here with any of these offerings that we studied a couple weeks ago, because there is no connection. This is something entirely different. This is entirely different from the offerings that were made. This was a feast day. This was a holy day that was set aside not for men, but for God. It was a time, as we're going to see tonight, it was a time when the focus was upon the things of God. All right, so last week we learned that two of Aaron's sons, we know that there were two other sons that were tending to the brazen altar. They are mentioned in the 10th chapter, back where Moses comes out and calls their names and has them gives them some special instruction in chapter 10, verse 6. Their names was Eleazar and Ithamar. And so they were tending to the brazen altar. And the two sons, Nadab and Abihu, were tending to the holy place where the altar of incense was. And so Nadab and Abihu, we learned last week, did not follow the directions. God gave them specific instructions concerning their duties inside the holy place, and they did not follow the directions. And they let the fire go out. And when they let it go out, they decided to go get some strange fire and to rekindle the flame and get it burning again. And when they did, the Lord consumed them and they died before the Lord. Now, this all happened at the beginning of the day that was set apart to be the first annual Day of Atonement. And this was the day that Aaron and his sons would offer a sacrifice on behalf of the nation, that it would be a national sacrifice. He offered two animals, one for himself, and then he had two goats that he would cast lots over, and one would be slaughtered and offered to God. The other, he would put his hands on the top of it and of its head, and it picture of the goat of the lamb assuming the sins of the people, and then a man would walk it out into the desert and turn it loose. And the idea of our sins being separated, being gone from us. We don't have to deal with them. Now, that was what the National Day of Atonement was all about. It is called Yom Kippur. All right, you've heard that term before. Well, this is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. Aaron would and his sons would offer this sacrifice on behalf of the nation regarding the matter of sin. Now, the point is, God had been very specific about everything that was connected to the tabernacle. His instructions were given, and there was to be no variation in what he said. What he said was what he meant. He did not mean for Aaron and his boys to take liberties and change the instruction or change the direction. However, Nadab and Abihu did not follow the directions. And this happened in chapter 10 and in verse 1. And when that happened, go back to chapter 10 for just a minute. When that happened, their death followed immediately. And then I pointed out to you last week, starting in verse 12, verse 8, really, starting in verse 8 and going all the way through chapter 10, the rest of chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, 14, 15, and then it starts up by going back to the narrative and telling you the story of what happened throughout the rest of the day. You say, well, what's in the last half of 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15? Well, basically, what you have in those chapters is the Lord stepping in and saying, guys, evidently, you haven't quite gotten this yet. Evidently, you haven't quite figured this out yet. Just to make sure that we don't have any future problems like the one we just had with Nadab and Abihu, just to make sure that we don't have any further problems, let me clarify a few things for you so that there is absolutely no gray area whatsoever. In other words, God, in chapter 10, verse 8, all the way to 16:1, where the story picks up again, in these few chapters in between, you have God going back and explaining several chapters of what's clean and what's unclean. And the idea is, basically what God is saying is, look here, I thought you guys got this. I thought you understood that I wasn't to be toyed with in this thing. It's a serious business. This is eternity you're talking about. You gotta do it like I say. And so, just so we don't have any further problems, let me tell you, this is unclean. This is unclean. Don't be messing up again. Now, if you're going to do this, do it right. Because if you don't do it right, and you come into my presence with it messed up, then there's an ultimate price to be paid. And so that's why there is these chapters in between. You might be reading this this last week since we've studied it. You might be reading it and going, well, why? What's that? Where'd the narrative go? Well, the narrative picks up in chapter 16, verse 1. It ends in verse 7, all right? And then God gives all Moses, and Moses gives to Aaron and Ithamar and Eleazar all these little instructions about what's clean and what's unclean, emphasizing, hey, look, don't mess this up again. That's the point. All right, everybody see that? All right, I needed to clarify. I thought I confused you last week on it, and I want to make sure that everybody understands that point. Now, there are so many lessons that we can learn from this dreadful experience. Nadab and Abihu simply did not listen to the word of the Lord. Folks, we've got to listen to the word of the Lord. You know, I'm so tired of people saying that, you know, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. And well, you know, to each his own, blah, blah, blah. No, what does thus saith the Lord? What's the Bible say? And let's stick with what the Bible says. Nadab and Abihu just didn't listen to the word of the Lord. And they paid a horrible price for it. And this old wicked world in which we live today is making the same mistake all over again, rejecting the blessed word of God. And folks, listen, the Bible is not a suggestion book. It is not a suggestion book. And you know, we need to realize that when God says something, he means it. You know, when the Lord Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again." You know, he meant that. Sure he did. And so you know, the whole point is that we need to follow what God has to say. And I think what we need to realize is that our God is a jealous God. And boy, if you can't get that out of what happened to Nadab and Abihu, then you're not thinking, you're not reading it right. Nadab and Abihu didn't do things God's way, and they paid the ultimate price. And there's so many examples of God acting in swift judgment and executing his wrath upon sin and upon rebellion and upon unbelief and upon those that violate or reject his word. You say, "Oh yeah, Pastor, but that's Old Testament." I know it's Old Testament, folks. And there are several examples of this in the Old Testament. You say, "Well, that's just Old Testament. We don't live in Old Testament times today. We live in New Testament times today." Yeah, and so did Ananias and Sapphira. And so did those folks in Corinth who were abusing the Lord's table. And Paul wrote to them and said that because they were abusing the table of the Lord, communion, the Lord's Supper, because they were making a mockery out of it and had turned it into something for themselves instead of something for the Lord, Paul said, "And for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, he's not talking about the typical Sunday morning service in the average church. Many sleep. All right, he's talking about dying. Many have suffered physical death as a result of their not listening to the word of God. And so God is serious about things, and I think it grieves the heart of God when we don't take seriously the truths of his word. All right, now look at chapter 10 for just a minute, and we'll pick up where we left off last week. Now, if you look at verse 5, they came and carried Nadab and Abihu out of the camp. It says, verse 5, "So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said." Now look at verse 6 and 7. "And Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons, uncover," what's the next word? "Not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die." Why? Well, "For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. Now, I want us to look tonight for the remainder of our time at the instruction that God gave to Moses, and Moses gave excuse me, to Aaron and to his two boys. And look at the instruction that comes out of this incident. When this tragedy occurred. Now you can just imagine, folks, just picture this day. Picture this day. Picture the tabernacle. It's early in the morning. Picture the cloud, the glowing cloud coming out of the top of the tabernacle. God's presence is there. Ithamar and Eleazar are standing at the brazen altar, and the fire is just roaring, and the sacrifice is burnt, is burning upon the altar. I mean, just think about it. Get the picture of this whole thing in your mind. And then all of a sudden, the fire of the Lord falls upon these two boys, Nadab and Abihu, and they are dead. They are consumed. And there's Aaron. I mean, you know, imagine Aaron, their daddy. He is their father. And the fire of the Lord just comes out and consumes these boys. When this tragic event happened, you can imagine the fear that must have been in Aaron's heart. You can imagine the confusion. I mean, you know, they're there to worship God. They're there to honor God. And he doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know what Nadab and Abihu have done inside. He's out here tending to this sacrifice that was brought. He doesn't know what's happening, but he walks in and there's his boys laying there smoldering. And no doubt he let out a scream. No doubt the first thing he did was holler, you know, for Moses. So Moses comes running. He comes rushing in. And he sees everything in chaos, everything in turmoil. Ithamar and Eleazar, they've come running over now. Everybody's standing there. There's just smoldering bodies laying on the ground. And Aaron, he's in a frantic condition. And nobody knows what to do. They're all scared to death. And that's when Moses instantly begins to straighten things out. Now, what does he say to his brother and to his nephews? Look at verse 6. The first thing he says to them is this. He said, uncover, middle of the verse, not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest you die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. The first thing he told them was this. Do not outwardly mourn. You say, why would he do that? Folks, let me emphasize. This day was not about Aaron. It was not about Ithamar. It was not about Eleazar. It was not about Moses. It was not about Abihu. And it was not about Nadab. This day was about the Lord. This day was about the people having an atonement for their sin. And you'll notice here, Moses says to him, look, don't leave. Don't go out of here. Don't get in a bad way. Don't take your hat off. You have the anointing oil of the Lord upon you. This day is not about you. It is not about anything but the holiness and the righteousness and the justice of God. That's it. And Moses just, I mean, it's like he grabs a hold of him and shakes him and says, wait a minute. This is, you got to realize what's going on here. This is the holiness. These boys are dead because they violated the holiness of God. You better not violate the holiness of God or you're dead too. And not only that, if there is no national atonement for the sins of the people, then the people are going to be judged as well. So Aaron, stop, think. This is not about you. This is about God. This is about the Lord. And that sacrifice has got to be made. They were to continue in their office and be the mediator between God and the people. Second, notice they were not to show the outward signs of mourning because it would contradict the action of God. It would contradict the action of God. Nadab and Abihu were foolish men. They were foolish men. They were acting very foolishly. and were poor representations of the people in that they disobeyed God. But this was not about them. It was about God. So Moses said they were not to contradict the action of God in the eyes of the people, but instead were just to go about their duties in spite of their broken hearts. This was a special day. It was a holy day. And it was not about Aaron. It was not about Eleazar or Ithamar or any other man. It was to be about God and the people's relationship with God. They were the priests who interceded to God on behalf of the people. And so they were not to all of a sudden see God's holiness and God's wrath against disobedience and then say, well, if that's the way you're going to be, no, wait a minute, this is not about you. This is about God. You were chosen to represent the people. You better represent the people. You better stand up. Hey, folks, aren't you glad Jesus didn't say, whoa, wait a minute, I quit. Aren't you glad when he was walking through the streets of the city carrying that cross after having been beaten all night long and tortured all morning long? Aren't you glad he didn't say, I've had enough? No, he went all the way to the cross for us. He endured the shame. He despised the shame. But he paid the price for you and for me. And so Moses makes the point. Don't foul this up, guys. Don't foul this up. All right, so that's the first thing. That's the first thing. Look at verse 7. He said, and ye shall not go out from the door of the congregation. What's that mean? What's that mean? That means, hey, Aaron, Ithamar, Eleazar, don't get frustrated. Don't get mad at God. Don't get bent out of shape and just say, fooey on this and leave. You go out there and what about the people? You are supposed to be in here making an offering for them, a sacrifice for them. And so he said, don't go out of the door. Don't go out from the door of the tabernacle, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. You've been chosen. You've been selected to do this. And so thank God they did according to the word of the Lord. All right, now that's where we left it off last week, and that's what happened. Now, look, please. At verse 8, it says, and the Lord spake unto who? Aaron. All right, now, previously, the Lord had spoken unto Moses. All right, God spoke to Moses. Now, told Moses what to do. Now, here's God speaking to Aaron. So they obeyed. They stayed. And now, the Lord is going to speak to Aaron. Wonder what God's going to say to him. Well, starting in verse 9 and going all the way over through the end of chapter 15, we have several chapters that are clean and unclean, do's and don'ts, if you will. Concerning what? Concerning coming before the Lord. Now look, please, at verse 9. What is the first one? Strong drink, liquor, alcohol. You say, well, I don't like this. I didn't write it, so don't get mad at me. The first one, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye... Wonder why that's first? I think because that was why Nadab and Abihu fouled up. That's how they fouled up. I think they laid out drunk. And they came before the Lord, let the fire go out, didn't do their duty. They didn't do their duty. Why was this first? What was the purpose for inserting this instruction right here in this spot? I think the reason that Nadab and Abihu did what they did here was because of alcohol. Why else would this instruction have been inserted right here? And I also think that this is one of the clearest examples in Scripture against the use of alcohol. The priest was to serve with a clear, steady, and sober mind. One of the things that alcohol does is it dulls the senses so that a sharp distinction cannot be made between that which is holy and that which is unholy. Why else would the instruction have been put here? What happens to someone who is under the influence of alcohol? What happens to them? Well, I'll tell you what happens. The real, true values are distorted, and there's a breakdown in their perspective, and there's a breakdown in morals. It happens every time. A person under the influence of alcohol will do, say, and think things that he or she would not do, say, or think if they were sober. And the priest must keep the statutes of the Lord so that he could teach them to the people. Now, you say, well, okay, that's Old Testament, all right? Let's bring it to New Testament, all right? Let's bring it to New Testament. What is needed in, by the way, what are they doing on this Day of Atonement? They are worshiping God. That's what this is all about. This is all about worship. This is all about worshiping God and giving God the day. What are we doing when we gather here in church on Sunday? We're worshiping God. We're worshiping the Lord. And listen, what Paul say about that? Here's what he said. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the filling of the Spirit is what is needed in the New Testament church for worshiping God, not filling of spirits, but the filling of the Spirit. So there's a wonderful lesson here. When you and I come to the Lord, we must come to the Lord on His terms. Coming to God is not an arrangement that we make with God. We read the Bible and we see what the rules are. We read the Bible and we see what the requirements are. We read the Bible and we see what the instructions are. God is the one who saves. God is the one who has set the rules. God is the one that set the standard. And His rules are forever found in the Scriptures. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus said in John 14:6. That's pretty clear. That's pretty clear. But yet today in our society there are millions of people and thousands of preachers that disagree with that. And they'll say that we're all just trying to get to heaven and that we should be tolerant of one another's opinions, et cetera, et cetera. But let me tell you something. Opinions aren't needed in this matter of coming to God. Obedience is needed in this matter of coming to God. You've all seen that little bumper sticker that says, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, I got news for you. If God said it, that settles it whether you believe it or not. And when you get to the end of the book and you open up the Bible, you'll read, it says that when men are standing before the Lord, it says, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Well, what are those first books? All 66. The books were open. Can you see it now? A guy standing there and said, but Lord, you can't send me to hell. And the Lord says, well, why? I was a member of the church. And I can see God now. Turn into Romans chapter 6. And when he gets to Romans chapter 6, he looks up and he says, well, let me see what the book says here. Yeah, that's what I thought it said. The wages of sin is death. Not going to church. Oh, Lord, you can't send me to hell. Oh, yeah, why? Lord, I took communion. The wages of sin is death. Not taking communion. And so here are all, you know, you run into people all the time. You know this. You've asked them. You've asked friends and coworkers and people. Let me ask you, sir, if you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope I would. Well, I think I would. Well, yeah, what are you basing that on? Well, you know, I've been a good person. The wages of sin is death, not being a good person. Well, I hope I would. Oh, yeah, what are you basing that on? Well, you know, I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Presbyterian, or I'm a Catholic. I hope I would. The wages of sin is death, not being a Baptist, not being a Methodist, not being a Catholic. Somebody's got to pay your sin penalty, and it'll either be you for eternity in hell, or it will be the Lord Jesus, as you have trusted Him and His sacrifice for sin. So God said it, and that settles it whether you believe it or not. So folks, what we need to do is realize that even back in Bible times, even back at this first Day of Atonement, even back then, God was showing the seriousness with which we ought to respect this book. He means what He says in this book. It's not to be messed with. It's not to be toyed with. It's not to be played with. It's God's Word. We just need to believe it.